Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Casual KO. Coming in after a successful week. Real good week for me, real good week for Alex. Had to have been a good week for Jared as well, betting. He's not here this episode, so he's missing two in a row. He'll be back, and I know you guys are probably excited to hear his picks. I do have his picks. He's been hot lately. I said he's like Hansel right now. He's so hot. A Zoolander reference for people that don't get that. Yeah, dude. I mean, did you have a good weekend last week? Betting, Alex?
Break-even week for me, but I should have been up. You know what it is? I took a couple, went a little bit too big on Marlon Vera. I hit him live after the first round at like plus 250. It went down. I thought I was in a good spot, but that didn't end up cashing. Hit on Sam Hughes live. Wish I went a little bit bigger on that. But yeah, we ended up riding on Corey in the main event. It looked good early, though. You know, he was plus 150 live going into the second, third round, and Umar made good adjustments. Just ran away with it for the last three, four rounds, and disappointing, but it really looked great from the start. Thinking about hedging our bet, because after the first round, if you had money on Corey, you could have hedged it and been free rolling. But I think we got a couple good spots. We hit the ladder bet. We're at 400. We're going to make it 800 this week. We have no idea. Jared's had a little bit of an emergency at home, so we're going to be contacting with him later this week. We'll get that bet down. Be sure to follow us on our socials for that. Yeah, hopefully we can turn that 400 to 800 this week.
Not hopefully, we will do it. What we did last week, so, you know, it's been kind of tough to do these ladders and to share them with you guys because we wait until the props come out on DraftKings, which is on Thursday. Like Alex said, follow us on social media.
Profit_picks. You can follow Jared at TPicks. And you can follow Ryan at Casual KO Podcast. You know, he's slacking on there. You want to get him pumping again.
Yeah.
And also follow him at Dangerous World Podcast.
So yeah, you follow us there and we'll be sharing that because we are, you know, we're doing this pretty conservatively. We're trying to make sure that we can get like the safest possible bets. It's an MMA fucking based thing. A little tough. Anything can happen. But last week, the picks that we had a four teamer and it was Victoria Ditchova, right? Is that her? Is it Victoria?
Dakota.
Dakota Ditchva. I don't even know these PFL people. But yeah, so we had two PFL picks. We also had Tyler Santos, Dakota Ditchva, over 1.5 in the Dern Loopy fight, which was kind of a sweat early on, but it did. I mean, once we got past that first submission attempt, it was coasting.
I think that was the only sweat of the bet, you know, surviving that submission was the only thing we needed to do, and we were golden.
Yep. And then the last leg of that was the over 1.5 in the Cheeto Figgy fight. And that was, I mean, smooth fucking sailing. So that was plus money. It was like plus 120 or something like that.
Plus 128. That's good.
Yeah. So we rocked that one. It felt real nice after we were saying, you know, if we hit these two PFL ladies fights, it's going to feel real nice waking up Saturday, getting ready to watch those. And it did. And it worked out. So this is where we start getting a little nervous, you know, 400. That's a big bet for me. I know you've made large bets in the past. I'm not going to ask you what your largest bet is, but I don't make huge bets. I do just a lot of smaller bets. I think my biggest bet ever is like $300, but it was something I was pretty confident on. It's like live rounds. It might've been the Sean Strickland fight when he dropped down severely. I mean, he opened as a big dog against Izzy. But once I saw that second round, I dropped a balance on Sean Strickland and it was a nice bet. But I've never done 400. And then when we hit this one, doing an 800, I'm going to be sweating. and then 1600 and then 3200. It's just going to get scarier and scarier, but we're going to do this and share our progress along the way. So follow us on socials. I don't know if there's anything else you want to get into before we start getting into this card. This is not a fun card by any means, but it's a night of fights, opportunity to make some money. What do you think?
I think we see some violence on this card. You know, we're starting off the card strong. We're going to be ending it a little bit boring, in my opinion. But I think all the good fights are early on this card, in my opinion.
All right. Fair enough. You don't like the main event, huh? You don't like Spivak versus Tybura too?
I mean, we probably see it going two different ways. I just think it's going to be a clinch fest.
It might be. It might be. Yeah, pretty evenly matched. These two did fight, obviously. That's where the two comes in. Tybura won that last one, but this was a little while ago. Now Spivak is really in his prime. It's the oldest looking 29-year-old I've ever seen in my life. And Marcin Tybura is kind of a young looking 38-year-old. So yeah, kind of interesting there. The Polish over there, I guess Polish don't crack. But I've seen some fucking wild looking, like wizard looking Polish people. A couple fights fell through. One that I was excited for, Alan Nascimento versus Jafal Filo. And then also I was actually pretty excited for the Parsons Kinoshita fight. I was pretty high on Parsons in that spot. So kind of sucks. Chris Gutierrez and Javid Basharat fell through, but Gutierrez does have a new dance partner in Quang Ly, Vietnamese undefeated fighter. I'll do something different. I'll let you start this first fight of the night. A couple ladies going at it. These two did fight not very long ago. I think they were actually Luciano's last opponent, but Talita Alencar has since made it to the UFC and fought and won against Ryan Amanda. But we got Stephanie Luciano versus Talita Alencar. Last time they fought, it ended in a draw, dude. What do you think? How do you think this one goes?
You know, I actually kind of rewatched that fight. On paper, you kind of thought Talita won. They just gave her a 10-8 in the third across the board. And yeah, I wasn't mad at it. I had money on Talita in the fight. But yeah, I'll take a draw in that spot. After doing tape, it's hard to bet on Talita. You know, she borderline gasses out in every single fight. She looked a little bit better in her last fight. If she just had cardio, she would blow through Stephanie, in my opinion. She would just have the pressure and the volume to just outwork her. No way I'm betting Talita here. I think the only way she has to win is to show that she has cardio. And I think Stephanie's the one who's going to be improving fight to fight. She took a long time off, over a year off. I think she's going to come out and get a finish, to be honest. I think if Talita shows exactly what she did in her last fight, Stephanie can get her out of there. And I think they're going to throw in a nice ref. Throw in Mark Smith in this fight.
Oh, Talita boy.
Sits on the fence for a little bit too long, and Mark Smith's going to run right in there and save her. So I'm going to go round three finish knockout for Stephanie. Because I just don't believe Talita's improved. I'm going to go Stephanie here. I think she's the bigger girl, more volume. If she can stop a takedown, but she looked bad in that first round.
Oh, yeah.
She looked really bad. She was giving up easy takedowns.
She knows what to expect, though. You know, like that gas tank, I think that you can overcome a little bit of a grappling deficiency better than you can overcome like that massive of a cardio deficiency for Alencar. The thing is, dude, like you wonder if Alencar was just very nervous and kind of adrenaline dumped in her contender series fight, because there's a lot of stakes in those fights.
Yeah, but here's another thing. I don't bet on girls that pull guard. In my opinion, she's just not ready. She's just, this isn't for her, in my opinion. I think if she loses this, it's not gonna look good. You know, she fights her heart out, though. I'll give her that, but I think she's just outskilled here. She's a small girl too.
Yeah, honest. Tiny.
She should be an atomweight here. She's outsized.
Well, I agree with you. Decision for me, though. And Jared also has the decision. Soundbites will be back next weekend. Don't you worry. But I would be hitting the Cartman. Oh, my God. We're going to make so much fucking money, you guys. I'll just do the soundbites for you. But I think that that's what happens, man. I think that Luciano probably does get this done. I was tempted to take the round three knockout, too. Or, you know, my book FanDuel, they offer the 2-3 combos. I might have, you know, do something like the 2-3 knockout. Yeah, man, I just don't really think that Alencar's a fighter, and I don't think that she won that fight against Rayanne Amanda. I think that she should be 4-1, I guess that would be. 4-1-1. Just not impressive.
I think the UFC knows this, too. I mean, look at the spot they put her in here.
Yeah. Yeah, the same thing that she basically lost to last time. We'll see, man. We'll see. I am interested in that one, though. It's kind of a fun way to get the card started. Usually these girl fights aren't too exciting. It's a low-level fight, but I am interested to see how that goes. The second fight of the night, which we're all in agreement on the first one. I'm worried that we'll probably all agree on this one as well. Got Jarno Ahrens versus Yusuf Zalal. Yusuf Zalal is good, man. He's young. I think he's only 27, 28. Yeah, no, 27. Basically 28. This dude's good. Like, I don't know why he got cut in the first place. he was dominating. He was winning a lot, dude. Like, I don't know if he was, how well he was doing in the UFC. He's 4-3 in the UFC. Lost to Ilia Topuria, Sungwoo Choi, who's good, and then Sean Woodson, who's a tough fight for anyone, but he split decision lost to him. You could argue that he won that, obviously, if it's a split. So I don't know, man. The wins that he does have, they're not super impressive. Austin Lingo, that's probably his best win. Jordan Griffin, Peter Barrett. But I just think that he's so skilled. He went to a draw with Damon Blackshear, who looked like shit his last time out. I don't know. I think that this is a no-brainer, and it's almost a little worrying just because of how obvious it is. I know that the line's wide, but I think that Zalal has Aaron's beat pretty much everywhere. Aaron's is good on the feet. He's a good kickboxer, but I don't think he's going to anything for the Zalal. Zalal's going to have the takedowns. He's going to have the ground game. I think he's going to beat everywhere. Give me Zalal. I don't know if he finishes him, but I could see a finish just because he's so much better on the ground. Give me a submission round one or two. I'll go submission round two for Zalal. What do you got?
Hopefully we get this 2.0 version of Zalal in this fight, but if we get the Zalal of the old where we've seen him low volume before, Aaron's is going to outpoint him easy. Aaron's is a dog in there. He's high volume, always willing to give one a take one. He's a fan favorite fighter. I'm a big fan of Jaron Aaron's. I hit him as a dog in his last fight for a big bet. And, you know, it's hard not to be biased here, especially when you see that big price tag and everyone and their mother betting against him. Because he is live here, and it's all up to Zalal's IQ. And he has good IQ. If he can mix it up, clinch, get a couple takedowns, and even, you know, show some tenacity as he did in the last fight, I think he could get a finish on Jarno 100%. But if he thinks he can just get through him in the striking, I think he's leaving himself open for a lot of risk.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
And do I think Zalal can beat him on the feet? Absolutely. I think he could even knock him out, especially if he looks as good as he did last fight. You got to just trust his IQ here. I'm going to go Zalal to win a decision as well. I wouldn't be shocked at a KO. I think Zalal can win this any which way he wants. Sub, KO, ground and pound. It's just, I think he's going to take the safe route here. You know, if you do tape on Aaron's, you just got to grapple and pressure him, take him down. And I think that's what Zalal's going to do. And we've seen him do that in the past very well against guys like Peter Barron, against guys like Austin Lingo. What worries me is Jarno Aaron's is a little bit better than those guys. So I think it's going to be a little bit closer than people think. I think Aaron's is going to have some spots on the feet. But boy, it's just scary. Knowing the Holloway effect, Zalal could come out here and put on a legendary fight if he keeps it standing.
I think he's just more skilled everywhere, man. You know, Aaron's is good, but Zalal is so skilled, I think. And like I said, I don't understand why he got cut in the fucking first place, man. I really don't. So Tapology is widely in agreement with us, too. They're 95% on Zalal. Most of those people believing it's coming by decision. You said Zalal decision?
Yeah.
Okay. Moving on up. Next fight of the night, a couple heavyweights going at it. And this should be pretty interesting. This is like the definition of a grappler or a wrestler versus a striker. And Carl Williams versus Jannata Deniz. I'll let you go first on this.
This fight reminds me a little bit of the first fight, Alan Carr fight, because Carl Williams, he's gassed out before as well. He hasn't really looked that great in the third round. He gets by, but we've seen him just coast. And I don't really like fighters that coast. It's smart. You know, they're thinking about their career. Carl Williams, just it's just hard to see him see value in him at minus 250. I'm going to be picking Carl Williams here. I would like to think he can get a finish here. I want to see how Deniz is going to look on his back. I want to see if Carl Williams can get some ground and pound. But until I believe that, you know, it's hard to pick a prop on him. I'm going to go decision. I think Deniz is tough. And with that being said, you know, the round three is always going to be scary when you're betting on Carl Williams. But I think this is the best grappler that Deniz has faced. And I think he's going to get taken down. Pretty confident on Carl Williams early. It's just, can he keep the momentum going? I like him. I like his camp. I know he's going to be a popular pick and a popular parlay piece this week, but I'm going to have to join in on the bandwagon and go Carl Williams decision.
Yeah, I think something that we could look at which I think is safe, but I don't know how safe for our ladder. The double method with Denise knockout, Williams decision. I like that. I don't know what that would be. I like that a lot. So
not bad, but I'm telling you, we haven't really seen too much of the grappling from Denise.
Well, yeah, we did. We saw it against Austin Lane. He looked horrible.
I know. So if you're getting taken down by Austin Lane, what do you think Carl Williams is going to do to a guy like this?
So you think Williams can finish is what you're saying?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
He should have success for two rounds. And if he doesn't get him out in two rounds, it's going to be worrisome in the third.
I don't think so, man, because, you know, fucking Denise has never been out of round two.
Whenever Carl's in round three, he coasts. He never looks good.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. I just think that the power of Denise is going to be so diminished because of this mauling that's going to be going on. And you got to keep in mind, too, out of 10 wins that Williams has, only three of them are by finish, right? The only way he's ever lost is by submission. He's never been knocked out. You know, he's never been beaten in a decision, 7-0 in decisions.
Glimpses of his holes in his game, you know, his cardio is a little bit, could be improved.
Sure. I just think that what we're seeing right now in this fight is like Denise is like, you know, it's a similar version of Justin Taffa. I don't know if he's better or worse.
He's in better shape than Justin Taffa. In my opinion, this is probably one of the best shaped guys in for Carl Williams. I mean, Carl Williams usually fighting the fatter guys.
I don't know, man. Chase Sherman's, say what you want about him, he's definitely not good in MMA, but he's great in striking and he's a big dude. Good shape.
I don't think he's as athletic as Denis. Oh,
you got it out. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's tough. It's tough to know just because of how, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns with this one. It's probably a smart spot to stay away from, especially with like safe bets like a ladder. I'm on Williams. I think, you know, if
I'll
we're
give you
all
a
on
safe
Williams,
bet, it's just you got to rely on Carl not getting the finish early. But Carl over on takedowns, line should be 2.5, 3.5.
If it was 3.5, I would go under because I think if Williams gets Denise down, he's not getting back up. I don't think that's what I'm thinking. Just because, you know, Austin Lane's not a good grappler. He's not known for that. You know, there could be that case that Denise didn't expect straight grappling from Lane. I was actually in Lane on that spot and felt real good when I saw him just going out with the grappling plan. But when you're not used to wrestling like that, you get tired quick from doing it. And that's what happened to him. You know what I mean? So, yeah, dude, I'm on Williams by decision, but I wouldn't think anyone's crazy for taking Denise by knockout any round. I think it's a tale of two outcomes there. I think that that's pretty much what's going to happen is either Williams by decision or Denise by KO. They size up well, too. I mean, Denise is 6'4". Those 6'4 kickboxers are pretty good. Let's see here. Moving on up the card. Another ladies fight. I know you like panty cans, but I mean, Carol Hosa versus panty cans. We got a couple ladies here. Rosa or Hosa, I guess. Alternating wins and losses. She's due for a win here. I think Hosa's actually pretty good. She gets a bad reputation. I heard she's banged almost every woman in the UFC. She's banging. She's a lesbian, but she's out there getting it in. Current girlfriend is one of my favorite female fighters, Denise Gomes. Were you saying that she doesn't finish because she's got 4 knockouts and 2 submissions?
UFC.
Sure, but I mean, she's only been in the UFC 9 fights. I guess that's a lot. I don't know, man. I think that she's
probably jinxing it because she's live here. And I don't know if you watched that Irene Aldana fight with Kale Rosa, but that was a killer fight. She landed 95 leg kicks in that fight. And all I'm saying, if she lands 95 of those leg kicks on Panty, I don't think she's going to be able to survive. I was shocked that Carol didn't get finished in that fight. I had Irene by knockout. I thought she was going to get her on the fence and let her have it, but she showed a chin in that. It's going to be hard to go and get on Panty here. It's a good matchup for her, though. She's a striker if she gets a striking fight.
So wait, you're saying that Irene Aldana landed 95 leg kicks on Hosa?
Rosa landed 95 leg kicks on Irene.
How the fuck did she win that by unanimous decision?
Because we were clipping. Leg kicks don't win fights. Punches to the face win.
Sure.
Two leg kicks, in my opinion, is like one punch in the face.
Yeah, but I mean, that's still like, that's 45 fucking punches to the face. I don't know.
She had the big moments on the feet. She was eating the leg kicks, making it look like nothing, and she was clipping her on the feet.
Okay.
The stats are deceiving on that one, but if you watch the fight, you would understand it because she was moving forward and pushing her back the whole time.
I definitely watched the fight. I mean, we did a breakdown. I was in Philly when we did this breakdown. I don't know if you remember that, but But yeah, I don't remember that at all. So whatever. Cool. Good to know that she can do that and throw that many kicks. But yeah, I mean, there must not be any fucking power behind them if that's what you're doing. But for this, man, I got to go Hossa. She's a big girl. She's 5'5". Obviously, Kianzad's a little bit bigger, but Hossa's going to look, you know, the same size as Kianzad in here, I think. Obviously, we haven't seen them stacked up. One thing I learned, and I see this with other promotions too, is that when they say their height, the fighters themselves tell the UFC their height. The height is not always accurate. That's why Israel Adesanya is 6'4 and Alex Pereira is 6'4, even though Alex Pereira is like 2 inches taller than Izzy when they stand face to face, right? Izzy's probably about 6'2, either that or Alex is 6'6. They tell them their height. The reach is measured by the UFC or the promotion. So the reach is very accurate. Height is not always accurate. So I have a feeling that Hossa is actually taller than Panny or the same size. And I guess we'll see when they face off. But yeah, Panny kind of having some bad luck lately. She's been finished twice, I think, in her career. Four times in her career, twice in the UFC. Both times by Macy Chiasson, who is actually, you know, Machine Gun Kelly, as Jared calls her. Good finisher. I mean, like her or not, she's a good finisher. But yeah, give me Hossa. Give me a fucking decision. You know, it's a ladies fight. It's a safe bet. What do you got?
I'm going to throw a nail in the coffin here and say Carol Rosa gets a finish via leg kicks round two. But you know, just be careful with this one, guys. If you're betting it, I would wait for weigh-ins. I've seen Carol struggle to make weight before. Keep your eye on that one. Wait till weigh-ins because you want to make sure Rosa's looking good.
She did fight at 145.
People sleep on Panny. Panny can strike.
I mean, what she got? She only got 3 knockouts in her entire career. I don't know. I'm not a fan. I wanted to like her.
Probably your going away paycheck right now.
If she loses?
100%. I just believe Carol should be finishing her in this spot.
Yeah. I mean, did Kianzad used to fight at 145 like Hossa?
No.
Okay, because Hossa used to fight at 145, which you look at their resumes and just by that, Hossa is fighting the lower level competition because 45 was a fake division. I mean, no other promotion has a 145 women's class. Really, really unathletic. I mean, it's almost like heavyweights for women at that level. You know what I mean? Obviously, there's women that weigh a lot more than that and walking around out in the wild. But for an athlete, that is pretty heavy. Now, Jared is also on Hossa, and he's got her by decision. So we're all on Hossa. I mean, I like Hossa, dude. I think that she's going to get something done here. Next fight of the night, Charlampos Gregorio, I think. I don't know. Versus Toshomi Kazama. Looks like a nice little, looks like my PE coach when I was in school. Lesbian lady in Kazama. I can't even remember this fucking dude's name. But yeah, not the highest level of fighters here, man. This is a low-level fight, in my opinion. But it seems like someone might be getting set up. Who do you have in this matchup?
I don't really like this fight either.
No.
I'm going to go Charlampos, gets an early finish. I don't really believe either of these guys are UFC caliber. I don't think you'll see either of these guys in the UFC for that long, in my opinion. I'm going to go Charlampos, early knockout. Not super confident. Because we could easily see Kazama just come out, grapple him, get him tired, eke out a decision. I would recommend staying away from this one. If you're going to bet Kazama, I'd probably go decision only. It's the way, so you get your money back if he's finished. I'm going to go Charlampos, gets it done.
Okay. I mean, it's tough because I really think that these Greek fighters suck. Like, it's no disrespect. You can't really say it without saying it. The Greek fighters are not good. And this guy fights out of Cyprus. Just not a high level of talent over there at all. I don't even know how many Greek fighters there are in the UFC. There's got to be like one or two. Can you think of any off the top of your head?
Yeah, I can't think of one.
Yeah, man. I mean, they're it's just not. It's like the UAE. You know, the fighters over there aren't very good either. Their best fighter is Mohamed Yahya, and we saw how he did this last weekend, right? I know that Charlampos is training out of a really good camp. I think that Longo Weidman camp is really smart at game planning. High fight IQ fighters, just good fighters over there. And they have the people that they need for Gregorio to sharpen up his grappling and submission defense, right? Aljo, phenomenal on the ground. I think he's actually going to beat Movsar when they fight. I'm excited for that one. For once, I'm excited for a fucking Movsar-Evloev fight. Gregorio, I think his last fight was the first UFC fight that he had, right? Against Chad and Helliger. Not a good fighter. But I remember when he was going to fight Cameron Smotherman, a lot of people were betting against Smotherman, or we're betting against Gregorio in that spot because Smotherman's like a kind of star in the making type kid. I kind of blindly just bet on Gregorio because of the Longo Weidman camp that he's fighting out of. And it and obviously ended up working out. I think Gregorio's just going to fucking outclass Kazama on the feet. Kazama is, I mean, he can't win a moment on the feet, I don't think. So give me Gregorio, give me knockout, probably round one. I'm not confident in it because Kazama, I think that this fight probably ends quick. I think Kazama could work him on the ground quickly, or Gregorio could get it done quick in round one. And I'm leaning towards the latter. So give me Gregorio, knockout, round one. Jared is on Kazama, sub one. So for those of you that like tailing Jared, that he's on that dog in that spot. Interesting call there. Now this is me again. Damn, there's a lot of ladies fights on this card. Yana Santos versus big old Chelsea Chandler. This chick's big, dude. She says she's 5'8". She might be 5'10", dude. She's a big chick. Not very good, though. And Yana Santos is, you know, more skilled fighter, kind of out of her prime, not doing so hot these days. Just had a kid. I'm kind of worried that she's coming for a check, and you wonder if she's going to be like betting on Chelsea Chandler to get a finish. I mean, that's probably a wide line. I mean, I couldn't imagine that someone would do that against themselves, but you never know. We like to look at conspiracies here. I just don't think Santos is very good anymore. She used to be. What name did she used to fight under before she got married to Thiago? Remember?
Unitskaya.
Unitskaya. Okay. So, yeah, if you're looking at for tape or whatever, it's not Yana Santos dating back. Obviously, you could look up and find out what her name is because good luck spelling that shit. Man, Yana Santos's game is just leaning up against the fence, you know, pushing her opponent against the fence, right? Kneeing to the thigh, keeping it boring. She doesn't take any chances ever. Chelsea Chandler, you know, like her or not, she does try to fight. She's just not skilled. She's not skilled at all. But her heart, you know, she gives it her all. She tries. I mean, this is someone that's very talented, doesn't take any chances, and Yana Santos versus someone with no talent that takes a fair amount of chances in Chandler. So I think if you're Santos, you're trying to push Chandler against the fence. I think Chandler being so much bigger is going to be able to just push her right off and kind of have her way. So give me Chandler. I do not feel good about it at all, but I do think that this fight goes the distance, like 9 times out of 10. I'm very confident in that. So give me Chandler decision. What do you got?
You
got
to go Santos. She's just more technical, better resume, but there's no finishing capability here, in my opinion. I mean, unless she gets help from the ref in round three when Chandler's just running. I got to stay away from this fight. This is the 1-800 gambler fight of the card, in my opinion. Santos has never got a finish in the UFC. Chelsea is going to go for it all with her bad technique and her gross takedowns, but you gotta love the heart. And I think you might be right on the Chandler side here, because I think anything close, they'll give it to Chandler, building her up and get more out of her career. She has a bigger fan base, in my opinion, and she's young. Yeah. So I just think the smart pick here is Santos. I think she's just gonna be the one working, the one who's going to be winning on the feet, more technical, even winning in the clinch. If she can stop the takedowns, the sloppy takedowns of Santos, she's got this in the bag, in my opinion. I'm going to go Santos wins this decision. If I'm betting Chandler, I'm taking her finish only. And even that's not even safe because she's sloppy, especially in the third round. And she doesn't have the best IQ either.
No.
Didn't even choose to grapple against Josiane Nunez. She's tough, though. She's entertaining to watch, too.
I mean, it's entertaining how goofy she fights, in my opinion. But, like, I mean, she's 33 versus Santos being 34. I would think that she's way younger than Santos, right? Because she's only got 8 fights. Like, what's the deal there? Like, you're not – when did she start as a pro? In 2007 – or 2018, technically. She had a canceled fight in 2016, waited 2 years before she went out and lost her debut. And she's fighting, like, twice a year. She didn't fight at all in 2021, fought once in 2023. That's when she got her ass kicked by Norma Dumont, and, you know, fought earlier this year, and she missed weight against Josiane Nunez, who is, you know, tiny compared to her. I don't know. It's hard, dude. This is a really hard. You might be smart just by picking the fucking underdog in this, because, I mean, Chandler sucks, man. She is really bad. I don't know. I guess we'll see. You're not wrong until fight night. So we'll see what happens there. This is your fight. This is actually, it seems like a fun one here. Danny Barlow versus Nikolai Verentinikov. I think I nailed that. What do you got here?
Going with Danny here. I think Danny's going to outpoint Nikolai the line's wide, and there's a lot of questions around this guy, and he trains at a good camp at King's MMA. For all we know, he could come out here with a grappling game plan, and that's really kind of the kryptonite for Danny, in my opinion, is a grappling game plan. And being at King's MMA, I would trust they're going to tell him to do that and be drilling a lot of that. So I'd be putting this one up for upset alert. I am going to stick with Danny to win a decision because I just trust him. I like his fighting style. I like how aggressive he is as well. And from what I saw from Vertenikov is that he's hittable. You know, he's tough, and I believe he's going to be able to last with Danny. But boy, am I scared of this fight. There's a lot of question marks here. You're getting the right odds on the debutant here. It's just, I got to stick with Danny.
The debutant. I like it. Barlow, he's fun on the mic too. You said he, you know, he's a fun fighter. He's fun on the mic. He's like a black fucking Nate Landwehr, dude. That's what he reminds me of, honestly. I don't know about the skills though. He really just has that left hand. Like, his nickname's Left Hand of God. That really is all that he has. I don't know if he's like a well-rounded fighter. I wish that it would say here, like,
here's the left thing though. He's so much faster than Nicolay here. He's so quick. When I was watching their fights, there's just a huge speed difference here. I think, you know, the counters are going to be there. He's going to be landing a lot of counters on him. I'm just worried about the wrestling game plan here and how Danny's going to look against the wrestler. He's looked good in the past. It's just those weren't guys at King's MMA.
Yeah, so you said that you had Barlow by decision. Yeah, that's what Jared has too. I don't know, man. I think I agree with you that the speed is there for Barlow, but you know, from what I remember, he's not good off of his back. Obviously he's won all of his fights, so that hasn't mattered. We don't see him on his back too often, but that is what I'm also a little bit worried about. These Kazakhstani fighters are pretty, you know, pretty humble when they go approach fighting. They're not fighting with their ego or nothing. I think I'll take Barlow as well. I'm not confident in many of these spots, as you can tell, but I'll take Barlow, and I'll probably take knockout round one or two. Go knockout round one. If he's that much faster than Vertenikov, I'll have to take your word for it. I'll look into it a little bit more. Obviously it's only Tuesday here, but yeah, give me Barlow knockout round one just to keep it exciting. I want some fucking finishes here. There wasn't many finishes last card at all. Right? Like, it was kind of lackluster, dude.
Close. There was a lot of opportunities for him, but no one really bid on it.
Yeah, like, no one, it seemed like no one was aggressive. I don't know. They should fucking put those old gloves back in, man. I think that has something to do with it. Now, I'm excited for this fight, and I'm pretty confident. This is one of the few spots I'm actually very confident in. Chepe Mariscal versus Damon Jackson. I'm not going to beat around the bush here. I'll let you take all the time you want to talk about this. Give me Chepe. I think that this is straightforward. I think people are overthinking it, because Chepe is a good wrestler. I think that he started out like that in high school, I want to say. Pretty high-level wrestler, not like super high-level. I don't think he did any college wrestling or anything like that. I could be wrong. But, I mean, he's just looked good, man. He's 16-6, and a lot of those losses come on the regional scenes, but he fought a high-level competition on the regional scenes. He fought Steve Garcia in the LFA, Joe Anderson Brito, and that was a brutal knockout, too. Yusuf Zalal, he beat in the LFA. Pat Sabatini, he beat in Victory FC. Bryce Mitchell, he fought. Lost to him. I mean, Gregor Gillespie, he's fighting high-level people even back then. So a lot of those losses come a while ago. He's on a nice little 6-run win streak here. I think Dan Ige would have beat his ass, but Damon Jackson is a far cry from Dan Ige. Jackson's a good grappler, but I don't see Damon Jackson having anything for him on the feet at all. And I think Chepe could absolutely knock out Jackson quick, and I think it comes in probably round two. Early in round two, after he gets his ass beat in round one. Go, Chepe, knockout round two. What do you got?
It's not a bad pick, you know, and it does seem like an easy spot for Chepe because his kryptonite is usually people who can strike. And Damon's not really known for that knockout power on the feet other than doing it to Pat Sabatini. So you can usually rule that out, but Damon's a big guy. And I like to say Chepe's a small featherweight and Damon Jackson's kind of a big featherweight.
Sure.
And, you know, we do have that Turkish hair plug trend going on.
We do.
And Damon Jackson's part of that trend. And he's here again as an underdog. And he's not a bad, valuable option to hit. Because if Chepe comes in here and he wants to grapple Damon, I think Damon's going to out-grapple Chepe. Especially later on in the fight. After the first round. And I also think this fight could go a couple different ways. We could see Chepe unleash his whole cardio in the first round. We could have a good ref in there, not stop it. And Jackson's so tough. we know he's the comeback king, and he could come out in second round, second win, ready to go at Shepe. So this is one of those unpredictable fights. I'd go light with this one. I'm going to go Shepe wins a decision, but I wouldn't be shocked if Damon wins either, guys. I really wouldn't be shocked. I am leaning a little bit more towards the over here. I know you like an early knockout. I just think we see some grappling, and I think we see it back and forth. And yeah, Damon's a vet, and I think he shows some vet IQ here. So I'm going to go Shepe decision. I think Damon Jackson gets hurt but survives.
Yeah, Jackson is 36. That's pretty old for a featherweight. It's getting up there for a featherweight, right? Go ahead.
Those veterans, man, they know how to survive, especially in these rough spots.
Yeah, but if they get knocked out, you know what I mean? Like if their chin fails them, you can't survive. I understand what you're saying where he, you know, he can get in tough spots and maybe he can get rocked a little bit and come back. Is he still at Fortis, by the way? Do you know? Because I used to like that camp a lot. Saif Saud is really a good coach, but I think like they're struggling because the way that Saif Saud coaches from the corner, especially in the apex when he's fucking screaming at his fighters for not doing what he's saying, I think the judges hear that and they're like, yeah, maybe this guy is fucking up. You know what I mean? Like, I think that Saif Saud kind of fucks his fighters over by doing that.
That's a good look, actually. I have not heard that. That is a good look. And that could affect the judges. So you're actually right. That kind of will hurt
Jackson. He's like, what the fuck are you doing? You can hear him say that on the broadcast. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, that's that. Yeah, I never even thought of that. He's just still at Fortis.
Okay. That could be an interesting thing to think about. And then last thing with Jackson, what was it? I had one other thing about Jackson. Oh, when he knocked out Pat Sabatini in like 10 seconds, his brother had just passed away. So he came out and he was just ready to fucking go, you know? So yeah, great performance, obviously. And he dedicated that to his brother. It's sad as fuck when that kind of shit happens. And you never know like how someone's going to rise to the occasion when they have a family tragedy like that. But I think that was kind of an anomaly. You know, it was a strange situation, not to take anything away from the dude, because I actually like him. I've bet on him in some spots where he's lost. I bet on him against Billy Q because I don't think Billy Q is very good. I haven't for a while. But yeah, I just can't go with him here. I got Mariscal. Jared is on Mariscal KO round one. I got him slightly later, KO round two. So we'll see what happens. Short notice replacement. Chris Gutierrez has to fight Quang Li instead of taking on the very boring Javid Bashirat. This is probably a more entertaining fight. What do you think about this one? You're up.
I think this is going to be the widest line on the card. In my opinion, there's no odds for this fight because they have no idea what to put him at. And I think he's going to be minus 400 or worse, in my opinion. I think it's Chris Gutierrez by whatever he wants. And if he's smart, he'll keep it at distance and spam leg kicks and maybe mix in the clinch a little bit. For Lee, he's actually a good BJJ guy. He's pretty slick. So I would honestly stay away from the grappling here. I think he can knock him out. I think Chris Gutierrez, second round knockout, plays with him a little bit in the first, takes his time, gets some reads, and lights up the leg. Second round, he goes in for the kill. So I'm going to go Chris round knockout.
What round?
Second round.
Okay. Yeah, those leg kicks are nice from Gutierrez. The kicks, I mean, just everything.
Oh, this whole card might be all about leg kicks, this whole card, if you think about it.
Yeah, there could be. There could be a little angle there. Has Gutierrez ever lost two in a row? Let's check. He has not. He's never lost two in a row. He's gone loss and draw, but he's never lost two in a row.
To be honest, I'm heavy on Chris here because I was even on him against Javid. I thought he was going to be, had all the finishing capability, thought he was going to be the guy moving forward as well. And I thought the odds were off. I thought it should have been a closer fight, even Steven odds. But I know he's going to be juiced to the gills in this spot. We'd be lucky to get him at minus 300. I'd be eyeing him for the ladder bet this week.
I'm not against that. I want to watch some tape on Quang Li before doing that. Should be easy to find, too. Seven of his eight fights are in the LFA. Yeah, dude, Gutierrez never lost two in a row. He's fighting the higher level of competition. There's no question. I mean, you know, UFC competition just by default is higher than LFA level competition. But even here, you know, fighting Yidong Song, Alatang Haley, who's not great, but he did beat him. Pedro Munoz is pretty good. Lost to him. Frankie Edgar beat by knocking him out. You know, he's fighting a high level of competition, even for the UFC in that bantamweight division. Stacked division. I think Quang Li is in over his head here. Short notice doesn't help. When did he fight last? 4 months ago. That's not too bad.
Well, I think they're giving these guys extra paydays.
Did knock out his opponent.
Extra to come and fight on short notice because They really
think so.
They need a minimum amount of fights on these cards to meet their ESPN contract. So
yeah, but
they will pull these guys out of their ass. You know what I mean?
Think about being someone like Quang Lee here. You get the call from the UFC. You don't need extra money. You're going. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think that they're paying them extra money at all. Dana's not known for that. So I think that they just show up and they're like, fuck yeah, I'm happy.
You don't think Danny Gay got a nice extra chunk for that contract on 3-hour contract?
He said that it wasn't
contract on 3 hours.
Danny Gay said that it wasn't as much as you would think. He said that the number was okay, but he was doing it for his legacy because no one's ever going to break that record.
Think about this. Instead of 200K, he got 500K.
I don't think it was that, dude. He didn't get double his money. He said
he got $500,000 to fight that night.
I mean, $500,000, I think he would have said, well, yeah, I got paid great. He said, I got paid okay.
When you're getting paid 200K base, yeah, to fight on 3 hours notice 500K, that's okay.
How do we know that it's 200K base?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, he's a main event fighter. He's headlined events on a main card of a pay-per-view as well. He's a very high-ranked prize fighter.
I don't know.
In views, too, and he's such a nice guy. He's marketable.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we can, you know, go back and forth on that all day because there's no proof of anything. But I just from his own mouth, he said that it was OK pay. It wasn't anything crazy, but he did it for his legacy because no one's going to break that record.
That as in OK, as in like a joke. Like, yeah, it was nice. I got $500,000. Okay.
Dude, it didn't sound sarcastic at all. Like, you should listen to it. It was
definitely sarcastic.
It was on the Anakin Florian podcast, I want to say. Or maybe it was on the Bisping podcast, believe you me.
And let's just say he could have got more, but he ain't complaining about what it is. That's why it's okay. And that's exactly where $500,000 is in that range.
$500,000 is pretty sweet. I think, I don't know. Like I said, dude, he did it for his legacy. That's what he said. His words, I'm not speculating here. He said that. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll ask him when we meet him someday. So Jared didn't give me a Gutierrez pick or a Quang Lee pick. I would imagine he's on Gutierrez. You had Gutierrez by what method in round?
Round 2 knockout.
That's what I'm on too. I like that because I think he softens him up with some kicks, beats him up with leg kicks, and then probably, you know, head kick knockout late in round 2. Maybe head kick knockout to ground and pound, something like that. But yeah, I see that coming as well. Main event time. Not very exciting of a main event, but we'll see. We'll see what we think here. Yeah, Marcin Tybura versus Sergey Spivak. You know, it's a main event. It's a fight. Like I said, last time these guys first fought, Tybura won. I think it was a knockout. Let me just double check. We can go back and we can check.
It was a decision.
It was a decision. Okay. That was probably a 3-rounder, I would imagine. Because, God, if these guys got main events twice in a row, that'd be horrible. Okay, so they've both beat Tai Tuivasa, both lost to Tom Aspinall. Pretty evenly matched, I think. You know, Spivak being the younger guy, I know a lot of people are going to be on him, but this is so close for a reason, man. Like, Spivak is very one-dimensional, in my opinion. I think he's a grappler through and through. Where Ty Burke, I think he can do well on the feet. He's, you know, a great wrestler as well. I think Ty Burke still has more in the tank, man. I don't think Spivak's going to be able to knock Ty Burke out. That's the majority of the way that Ty Burke loses. And yeah, just, I mean, just for the sake of picking a dog here in a close fight, I think that Ty Burke gets this done. And he probably, I mean, I could see him knocking out Spivak in round 2 or 3. Could come earlier for that matter. But yeah, these guys, when they lose, they tend to lose by knockout. So it's probably a knockout loss for whoever loses. Tybura's still got that power. Give me Tybura knockout round 2 for my final decision here. And Jared is on Spivak KO round 2. So just the opposite of me. What do you got?
I'm also on Spivak. It was my initial pick. It's not super confident. Could Tybura easily win this fight? Easily. So with that being said, going Spivak, I just think it's a different method. I think we see a longer fight. I think Spivak's going to be scared of the grappling due to the first fight. I don't think he's going to want to challenge that again. I think he's going to want to take a different avenue. And there is that common theme where you have two same styled fighters. They typically will not even go to that style. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You have two grapplers, they're going to strike. So I think we get that here. And in my opinion, I trust the younger guy to have more volume each round and to outpoint. I think Tybura will be the guy moving forward. I just think he's going to be the one accumulating damage. And he struggled to put out volume against guys like Ivanov. You know what I mean? Who's slow and very low volume himself. So I think Spivak's going to win just via the volume. I think he's going to have a slow sparring match with Tabura on the feet. And every round is going to be very clear. And we're going to see a boring kickboxing fight with two heavyweights. And I got Spivak winning unanimous decision.
Wow. 25 minutes of sloppy heavyweights. You're
25
looking for an
minutes.
exciting main
There'll be
event.
some clinch, and there might be a couple takedowns here and there. I just don't think it's going to be extended, and I don't think it's going to be majority of each round. I think we're going to see majority of each round standing on the feet, because I think that's a good game plan for Spivak. He's outpointed guys before. Like, look at the Olenek fight. You know, he had a lot of volume in that fight. I think he's just going to eke out every round pretty close.
Okay. I'm trying to see when was this fight night? Spivak, I think, was on my first ever parlay that I ever bet. Like the first time I ever bet UFC, biggest beginner's luck shit I've ever had.
And he hit.
And he hit, it was a five-leg parlay, and he was on there, I believe. And it fucked me when this happened because I wanted to follow these guys every time they fought. Okay, so it was this fight night. The parlay was Jamahal Hill, Jeff Neal, Muhammad Usman, Juliana Miller, and Sergey Spivak. So imagine I want to bet Juliana Miller and Muhammad Usman on all their fights. You know what I mean? I've tailed Jeff Neal, I've tailed Jamahal Hill. But yeah, dude, like it kind of gets you sometimes when you have these fighters that you just want to pick because they've helped you, you know, get into the sport and stuff.
Definition. That's dictionary picture of betting with your heart. When
Yeah,
someone wins
so
you money and you're a little bit biased towards them the next time. Like, look at me with Jarno Ahrens. Do I love Jarno Ahrens? He made me a lot of money last time. Do I want to bet on him here? Yeah, but am I? No.
that's smart. I mean, that's smart. But yeah, dude. So I don't know. I can't pick Spivak because the other two, and even Jamahal Hill is last time out, and Jeff Neal, they've all fucked me since. So I can't let Spivak be like the fucking, you know, pentfecta. I don't know what a trifecta, but five would be a quinfecta. That would be, I don't know what. But yeah, I can't take Spivak here. I got to go against him. So just for that principle alone. But yeah, man, Tybura is good. Tybura, you know, I went against him against Tai Tuivasa, who should just retire, to be honest. Tai Tuivasa doesn't even look like he takes the sport serious. He's got like two rounds of cardio in him. He looks worse and fatter somehow every fight instead of getting like better and better and in shape. And I don't know. He's just doing that Drink West thing. More power to him, but I mean, the dude sucks. He had a good run, and I think it's time to quit. But yeah, man, fun stuff. Good card. Do you have any dogs or any picks, anything like that? We don't have a whale bet or a four-teamer steamer from Jared this week.
I had a pick I bet early in the week because I knew the line was just going to get up. Was just kind of a fun bet I put in. I still like it. It's Luciano money line and Zalal money line. Those together was about even money, but the
Okay.
Zalal line has got worse, but the Luciano line has gotten better. Yeah, that's all that I currently have. We're all going to get together, have a short talk, and have the ladder bet ready soon. So be sure to follow us on our socials. Follow T Picks as well. He'll release his whale bet later in the week, as well as the steamer parlay.
Dude, I'm looking through here on my shit. I don't think I have one underdog other than the main event. Gutierrez is going to be a favorite.
I was going to
Chepe's.
take a shot. I was going to take a shot on Keen Oshita. That was actually going to be my dog play.
Wow.
I thought he was super live in a brawl against Parsons.
And Parsons got a chin, though.
That's the thing. That's why you got dog odds on it. But I just thought Keen Oshita was a little bit bigger.
Yeah, I was high on Keen Oshida when he got in, man. He had a really good fight in the Contender Series. Like, he got cracked a couple times and then just beat the shit out of his fucking opponent. And, dude, that's another thing, too, is we have a Contender Series starting up here real soon. So that's going to be cool. Every Tuesday, we're going to have for 10 weeks, we're going to have some two UFC fights a week, man. That's going to be cool. So I always like those. Only five fights, but it's kind of like a little fight night. It's fun. I wish that they'd up it to like
Separate. We're
eight.
gonna have to do a separate ladder for that.
No, dude, there is no predicting what the fuck happens in that. I just bet
We
so
usually
many
do
dogs.
really good. We usually do really well in Contender Series.
Dude, I take a lot of dogs in there. And actually, there was one night where I put 100 in my FanDuel account and I got it all the way up to like 250, 300, like throughout the night, right? For the first three fights. Went pretty heavy in the co-main. I forget who it was. Went heavy in the co-main, lost all the way back down to $50 from 250. And I just put all that 50 on round two knockout for some dude. I forget who it was. He was the underdog. And it turned into 750. I was like, dude, this is the shit. Like, I was just like, it was one of those bets where it's just like, fuck it, I already lost everything. So I was like kind of already in a pissed off mood. And yeah, that it ended up working out really well for me. So, you know, it's fun when that shit happens. Yeah, man, I don't have anything too crazy, nothing special to go in. I think my locks for the card are, again, nothing crazy here. But I think Gutierrez, Chepe, Zalal, and I'm actually pretty high on Williams as well. So, you know, those are kind of some of my more confident picks. I think we're all in agreement in all of those as well. Yeah, man, it's going to be a card. It's not going to be too crazy. There's also BKFC going on at that same time. So that should be fun. You know, if you like, you know, quicker paced fights, I think that those are probably actually going to be better fights. It's a numbered card. So probably actually going to be more entertaining fights than these, but just not as many betting lines that you can take on those yet. There will be in the future, I would predict.
Be sure to ride that ladder bet. We're on week four.
This will be four.
In week eight, if we get there.
We will get there.
We're going to be sweating, and I'm going to be arguing with these guys to keep it going and to not pussy out, because I really want to get to 10K, and I know we're going to get to like 7 or like 6, and these guys are going to start chattering about pocketing in some of the money.
Yeah, there's no getting to 10K with our scenario here. There's 32, and then there's 74, or no, 32, then 64, and then a 12. So if we wanted to go up to 10K, I'd be willing to at 6,400 pull out half and just leave the 32 in. You know what I mean? Or pull out.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
Pull out some profit and then go, you know, two more times or something like that. Because yeah, right now, dude, I can't justify making a $5,000 bet. I want to take this slow. We can get where we're going. You know what I mean? Just pocket some money, feel good, get our confidence going. Get our sniper abilities up. We'll be there, man. But yeah, it's a fun thing. That ladder challenge shit is cool. Started with 50. And yeah, we're knocking on the door of 800 this week. So we'll see what happens. Doubling up every weekend. But guys, tune in every week that there's UFC events. We're going to do this. Maybe we will start doing some contender series stuff through late July to early September. We'll see how that goes. But until next time, guys, good luck on the bets. And yeah, Apex Guard, Dana's Garage. It'll be fun. See you guys next weekend.